WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And on we go with new solo music from former Men at Work frontman Colin Hay.
Woke up Sunday morning, Salvation Army at my door. Playing onward Christian soldiers, till I couldn't take it anymore. I ran across the graves at night, with those three witches at my tail. I heard the wail of the now and the evermore. All things are never equal, and I don't know who is keeping score. Nobody gets a sequel, no, everyone gets shown the door.
That's Now and the Evermore, the title track from Scotland-born, Australia-reared, Los Angeles resident Colin Hay, whose new album is out today. Many of you know Colin Hay from his time as the frontman of Men at Work, the first Australian band ever to have a number one album and single on the U.S. Billboard charts at the same time. And in fact, Down Under is back on the charts now as a remix featuring new vocals from Colin Hay. Just this week, it hit the top five on the UK singles charts. But in the time between Down Under's first chart topping, Colin Hay has also had a prolific career as a solo musician, releasing 12 studio albums and becoming a mainstay of Ringo Starr's all-star band. And the drums in the track you just heard, by the way, were actually played by Ringo himself. Colin Hay's Now and the Evermore comes out today. He'll be at City Winery April 12th and 13th. But first, we're delighted he's joining us for a release day listening party. Colin Hay, welcome to All of It.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be with you.
You started working on this record during the pandemic, like so many other artists, and you've talked about finding yourself with more time and fewer interruptions. How did that inform the record?
Well, I think it informed the record because of what was going on in the world with the pandemic, especially before they had the vaccines together. There was quite a few months there of lots of deaths and people. It was a desperate situation. So, I mean, I think either consciously or unconsciously, you're aware of, you become very aware of your own mortality and those around you. And so we had a very small pod, four or five people that we kept pretty tight for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Mechanically or just practically speaking, I had more time because usually when I'm working in the studio, I have got maybe 2 or 3 weeks and then I go out on the road again and everything gets interrupted a little bit more. But this time I had a lot more time. And so I could sit with ideas a little more. I work with a friend of mine, Michael Georgiadis, who lives up the road from me, and he just happened to have a lot of ideas would come round, and so all his ideas to me were fabulous, and so we just worked on those songs. It was just a really, really, I almost felt guilty about it because it was a really creative time for myself and for Michael and for quite a lot of people, I think.
Did that extra time change the way you wrote or the way you approached songwriting?
I don't think so. I don't think so really. I recorded a lot more songs.
Well, yes.
I had like 22 or 23 songs in that time, though I had to choose 10. So there was lots of music got made, and I have quite a lot of material that's sitting there downstairs.
But I can't really
immediately put my finger on whether the fact that it was a pandemic and there was all this more time had any kind of direct effect on actually how I wrote songs. But I just, it was a joy really to go downstairs and just to work every day and to be able to do that for a year or something. And as a matter of fact, I finished this record quite a long time ago and had time on my hands because I didn't want to release. We didn't want to release it until I was going to be going on tour, which is now. So I did a covers record in that time as well, which was a lot of fun to do.
I was just going to ask you about it. The album is I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, which is the title of a Burt Bacharach song. Let's talk a little bit about that that project.
Well, I had this album Now and the Evermore. Excuse me, I had that finished, and I was speaking with a record label, and they said, "Well, you know, we'd really like it. Obviously, it's going to be better for us, and probably better for you, and to market a record if you're out on the road." So, which is an old-fashioned approach, but it's something that I've always done. So I was in the studio, and I was just reading an article about Jerry Marsden, who had died recently or died a few months before that. And so I started playing Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying in the studio, and it sounded nice. And so I just recorded it with guitar and voice, and I sent it to my friend Chad Fisher, who is a great composer orchestrator, and said, "What do you think of this?" And he loved it and put some strings on it and sent it back. He said, "Send me something else." And so I just kept on sending him songs, and that's how we did the record. I just thought about songs that had meant something to me growing up, that just had some kind of impact on my life, depending on where I was at the time. For example, Waterloo Sunset was playing in the sound system as we were getting on the ship to travel to Australia. So I always remember that being a very, very impactful moment. And I just remember vividly that was the song that was playing. So I didn't really delve too deep and kind of have huge lists of songs. I would just get up and kind of think about, record a song that sprang to mind more than anything, you know. And these were songs that which had particular meaning for me growing up.
Colin Hay is my guest. He is out with a new record called Now and the Evermore. He's also going out on tour for this record. Are you going to be touring with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band this year?
Yeah, after this tour, we go out. Yeah, we go out.
Oh, fantastic.
The end of May through June, and then I think later on in September, October also.
And I also wanted to let the listeners know, in case you didn't know what Waterloo Sunset was, that's by the Kinks. And Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying, the wonderful Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Right.
Really, really, just that band, completely underrated in my opinion. But that's that's not why we're here. Let's talk a little bit more about Now and the Evermore. You said that the song Starfish and Unicorns might be your favorite song, and it's very personal to you because it has to do with your parents. Let's talk a little bit about the story behind the song.
Well, again, that came from messing around downstairs with a little chordal idea. I liked it musically. I was trying to learn some different chords, and which I like to do when I have some time as well. That was the other thing I had time to do when the pandemic was happening, was practice more, and just I enjoy doing that, learning things about the guitar that perhaps I should have learned when I was 14 or 15 years old, but was perhaps was a little lazy and didn't do enough practice enough. in different areas of the guitar. But the guitar is really a wonderful instrument, I think, because it's a lifetime of study, and it's a lifetime of frustration and joy at the same time. But I was playing these chords, and I just started singing this little melody, and the starfish and unicorns, just that phrase came to mind, and I just immediately thought about my parents, who were, I think a lot of people have special parents, but I was very lucky to have parents who were pretty beautiful, fantastic people, you know, who just really gave us, their children, my brother and sister and I, a great life. And especially as we were growing up, you know, we never wanted for love and security, which is a big thing. And it sets you up, I think, in many ways for the rest of your life. I still feel protected by my mother and father, even although they're long gone, you know.
Let's hear a bit of it.
Okay.
This is Starfish and Unicorns.
Your voice is in my phone, and I will always wait for you to get back to me. I come here on my own by the old water tower, where we dreamt our lives away. Under rocks and stones, where the secrets of starfish and unicorns live. This is your new home, down by the waterside, where you'll never be alone.
That's Starfish and Unicorns from Colin Hay's new album, Now and the Evermore. He's playing City Winery April 12th and 13th, and we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. This is All of It on WNYC. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Carrie Nolan in for Allison Stewart, and my guest is Colin Hay. He's got a brand new album out. It's called Now and the Evermore, and he's playing City Winery here in New York City on April 12th and 13th. I mentioned Ringo Starr earlier, and you've done a lot of interviews about the influence that the Beatles in particular have had on you, and Ringo plays the drums on the album's title track. So how did that come about? And I mean, not that, I guess the question isn't why would you want Ringo, but more like why wouldn't you want Ringo on your album?
That's true. And when I was messing around with this song, I always imagined Ringo playing on it. I just could hear him playing on it. There's a little app that I use, and I'm messing around with ideas. When you record a little idea on it, there's a little drum kit that you can just press, and it plays along with you, which is a very cool little feature, just to give you an idea of how the song would sound. And when I would do that, it immediately sounded like Ringo playing this song, and so which made me even want to ask him to play on it even more. So when I'd actually finished the song, and I just thought, well, I'll ask him, you know, and he may, he can only say no, you know, if he's busy or whatever. And, but he said, yeah, send it over. Yeah, great. So, that's what I did. And, so the first thing you hear on the whole record is a drum fill by Ringo, which for me is just ridiculously, you know, surreal and exciting, because I just go back to when I was a kid. My mother and father had a music shop, and just listening to my father playing me the Beatles after the shop had closed, and having Ringo play on a song. I wish my father was alive to hear that. That would have been great. But yeah, it was it's wonderful to have him on the track, and he sounds fabulous.
Once a Beatles fan, always a Beatles fan, I think. You first played in Ringo's All-Star Band like 20 or so years ago, and you've been a mainstay with the band for a number of years now. What's it like to have Ringo Starr say, hey, you want to come out on the road with us?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it at all. There's nothing wrong with touring with Ringo. Plus you get to, you play with all these other musicians and you learn their songs. And so you have to, it's like playing in a covers band, really. And you're playing other people's hits. So it's a show full of hits. But the novelty never wears off of turning around and seeing Ringo playing the drums and playing your songs and you're playing his songs. It's a pretty unique experience. It's also very different from doing your own thing, because it centers around playing, the two or three top hits that you've ever had. So that's what it is. That's what the tour consists of, and that dynamic, which in a way is, it's not easy by any means, but it's just at least you're not thinking about creating new music and everything that goes along with that, So it's a nice, it's a kind of a really good diversion from what I'm normally doing, which is working on new material and going out on the road solo or with my band,
Your co-writer, we talked about him a little earlier on a number of these songs, was Michael Georgiadis. He also plays acoustic guitar on a couple of tracks. Why is he a songwriting partner that you consistently turn to?
Well, I've had about three people in my life where I had a really strong writing simpatico with. The first one was with a friend of mine in Australia whose name was Gate, who was a beautiful 12-string guitarist. And the next person was Ron Streichert, who played in Men at Work with me, who was also a great person. He was very inspiring to work with. And the other person was Michael, who I met when I moved to California. He's a little older than me. We met at a guitar store one day. And the guitar store owner said, you two guys should know each other. You two guys should work together. He knew both of us, but, separately. I love the way he. I just like the way he writes. I like the way he plays. He plays in a lot of open tunings. It's a rare thing when someone comes over and he'll play you an idea, and you can immediately hear the song. You can just hear it. I can hear it. I can hear not only what it is, but what it could be, and then we just work on it, and we have this, bickering process, where we kind of, we get very animated, and sometimes we argue, and he storms off and then comes back. Sometimes it's really funny, the anger of old guys is really amusing, to anyone who's watching. But we love each other, and we love writing songs together, and he's a dear one.
One of the songs the two of you wrote together is called The Sea of Always. Let's give that a listen.
Tearing down the Esplanade, the storm has broken. Everywhere the trees are sad. Danger flying, trying to find a way back in. I hear a baby crying. From dreams I awaken, my resolve is shaken, but I am not forsaken. Fold my wings, pack my things, and sail on. The sea of always.
That is The Sea of Always from Colin Hay's new record, Now and the Evermore. It's out today. He's playing City Winery on April 12th and 13th. You produced this album yourself, which is true of your last few records as well. Did you ever consider bringing in another producer on this, or did you know exactly what you wanted from the start?
No, it's not really that I particularly... It's not like I particularly want to produce my records, really. I'd be quite happy to work with a producer. I have a couple of people that perhaps I could work with, but it's really just circumstance more than design. I think that what happened with me was after I got dropped by MCA Records in 1991. So I started, I was just on my own, really. So I just started making my records in the basement and sending off CDs to people who wanted them. And so I, by default, I just learned how to engineer and I learned how to, get the sounds that I wanted. So I just ended up producing my own records. And I still do. But in a way, it would be good. It would be good. I think I would enjoy, if it was the right producer, to work with someone to take that load off. I've got a couple of really close friends that I trust that I always kind of take stuff to and go, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they're very honest with me and will tell me what they think. Sometimes I take a track down to Chad Fisher, my dear friend, and he'll go, what do you got all these guitars on there for, man? You got four guitar tracks on there. Get rid of three of them. You only need this one, So he's quite brutal. But it's just really by design, by circumstance rather than design.
There are also some Celtic influences on this record, like on the song All I See Is You. What inspired those sounds?
Again, it was Michael coming around and just having this musical idea. And he came around to the house and he goes, I got this. And he started playing it. And I said, that sounds like a Scottish air. And he said, yeah, it is kind of Celtic sounding, And so we just traveled down that road, I just made it more so rather than trying to steer away from it. And that's how it's ended up sounding. It sounds, dare I say, like some kind of old Scottish folk song or something.
Well, I think we need to hear a bit of that. This is All I See Is You.
Flame that's ever burning, and all I see is you. I've been walking many miles, I'm like an arrow, sure and true, through the violence of the silence. Now all I see. Broken voices are carried to the sky. The cries of the forsaken.
That's All I See Is You from Now and the Evermore by Colin Hay. I would be remiss if I didn't ask about this resurgence of the Men at Work hit Down Under. It's got a new remix. It's on the UK charts. What's it like to see that? See it back on the charts after all these years?
Oh, it warms my heart, to be honest. It's just really, it's ridiculous, really, when you think about it. It's 40 years later after it was released that it's stood up again and gone, hey, hang on, I'm not done yet. And so, the song took about 40 minutes to write. It was released about 40 years ago. And it's just, I don't know, it's the randomness of the universe or something. That this young kid just kind of, I think he just did it because he did it one night, and then he liked the sound of it. And they contacted myself, and they said, would you give us a re-recorded vocal for it? So I sent them a new vocal. And it's gone nuts. It's gone crazy.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it now. It's Down Under along with the musician Lude.
Yeah.
Colin, hey, do you ever get tired of that song, or do you not mind hearing it as a classic?
No, I really love it, actually. I really, it's been very, very good to me. But the songs live inside you. That's the thing. They're part of you. So how can you not love something that's part of you? And I think that you only get sick of songs like that are really, you know, famous and big songs when you put yourself as being the important part of it in a way. You know, it's kind of like the audience come, and I mean, a lot of audiences who come to see me, they like to hear new songs, but everyone's going to kind of got a soft spot for that song in a way. So whenever I play it, and I always play it when I'm playing live, you just let the song speak. You know, if you let the song speak and you're just really performing the song and playing it, then it never really gets old because it's constantly being reborn, you know.
I've had such a great time talking with you this half hour. I wish we had more time. Colin Hay has a new album out. It's called Now and the Evermore. It's out today. He's playing at the City Winery here in New York City on April 12th and 13th. And this summer, out on the road with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. Colin, thanks so much. This was so delightful.
My pleasure. Very lovely talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Let's go out on the album's final track, When Does the End Begin?
We're driving through a wailing wind. Sounds like the time is closing in. A man standing holding up a sign. How could he know what's going on in my mind? There's a falling emptiness that I can fill. I can make it all better.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.